Hello, everyone. Today is Thursday, October the 12th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abhinan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right, and you guys can help us support the show and keep the conversation going by you sharing this podcast and this radio show online with your friends and family. Leave us a good review on iTunes, absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. Really appreciate that because it helps us keep this conversation going as long as we possibly can.
And the verse of the day today comes from Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through the first part of verse 2. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew.
And I think that's really interesting and kind of the key where you said that whom he foreknew.
Yep.
This is not some arbitrary choice that God made. It's based on his foreknowledge. He has a divine plan. He has a purpose for Israel. And so his choices are not haphazard. Same in our lives. Like, he doesn't just choose randomly on this like random number generator of life. We just have to deal with the cards that were dealt. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's got a plan for all of us.
Right. Yeah. God has a plan in everything. And it's so, so appropriate that we're talking about this today, especially in light of yesterday's episode and what we're going to talk about today, the events going on over in Israel. You know, many of our viewers are aware of what's happening, but just to remind ourselves that God is not done with Israel.
That's
right. God has not, you know, removed them as his chosen people. They are still the chosen people of God. And we need to view the nation of Israel as such.
Dr. Shah, I know that by the way, for those who may be listening who are used to our regular format, we've, you know, for the rest of this week, we're going to have Dr. Shah in the intros for the entire episode because we want to really devote the time that a topic like this deserves. It's something that is really on Dr. Shah's heart. By extension, it's also on our heart, and we want it to be on your heart as well, because what's happening in Israel right now, we said it yesterday, it really is history in the making. We have a privileged front row seat through technology, through the news, through even this radio show, to seeing history being written. And Dr. Shah, I know Israel is something that's very near and dear on your heart.
Yeah, of course. Last we heard is that now the Gaza border is sealed again. Mm-hmm. So after all these 3 to 4 days of trying to make sense of this tragedy, this massacre, this evil, and hundreds upon hundreds of people dying, that now finally the border is secure and the war is far from over.
Yeah.
In fact, it's just begun. And of course, the U.S. is sending military assistance to Israel and is standing behind Israel, for which I am very, very happy and proud to be an American, and that we will continue to take our stand. Historically speaking, our stand has always been with Israel, so we'll do that again.
That's right.
Yeah. I think, you know, people kind of lull themselves into this sense of complacency, like this is happening across the globe and it doesn't affect me. This is, you know, it's tragic what's happening, but it's all the way over there and that I'm far removed from it. But you said it on yesterday's episode, Dr. Shah, these are people. These are families. These are lives that are being upended and torn apart, and in some cases, in many cases, cut short.
And worse than it has ever been. My friend also said something. He said, even the Nazis had a sense of, okay, we're going to get them, and then we're going to do what we need to do, exterminate them. But here, there is no, let's capture them and let's put the Jewish people away or whatever. No, this is just brutal killing of kids in front of their parents in front of their kids, just a massacre.
Yeah.
And we may just about say this is probably the worst in history. Not as much because, of course, Holocaust, 6 million Jewish people were killed. This may not be 6 million, but the way it's being done, it's horrific.
Yeah. And for those who didn't listen to yesterday's show, it is worth noting that the friend you're referring to is actually in Israel. He lives there.
Well, he's Jewish.
He's Jewish.
He is very knowledgeable about his nation's history, and I've learned a lot from him. Mm-hmm. So those are his words.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
those are his words. Because I'm just watching secondhand.
Yeah.
On TV or in my app. And that's how I'm getting the news.
Right.
But firsthand, he is saying, this is horrific. And you know, he's close to Tel Aviv. Mm-hmm. So he is hearing the sirens. He is having to go into the shelters. Mm. He was with his family when I called him. He had just come from visiting his family. And he said, everybody in our family is okay. But we do know one young man somehow related to him who may very well end up being on the front lines, not right now, mm-hmm. but if this thing continues, which seems like it will, the war is going to continue, then he will end up having to go fight, and who knows what will happen at that point.
Yeah. You know, we hit on this a little bit yesterday, but there's a lot of people who... Yeah, and there's a lot of people, a lot of Christians, I should say, that struggle with the idea of the Jewish people being God's chosen people. And I like how you pointed this out yesterday, Dr. Shah. With all, you know, humility and grace, we can say that as outsiders looking in, that sometimes being God's chosen people is not all that it's cracked up to be.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Sometimes they have to suffer as they're the chosen people.
Yeah.
You know, we brought up in yesterday's episode about Tevye, who was on the Fiddler of the Roof, and he is so tired. He's so exhausted with all that is going on, and then he looks up and says to God, I know, we are your chosen people. But once in a while, can't you choose someone else? Mm-hmm. So you can think about that.
Yeah.
It's not a choice they made. It's a choice that was made for them.
That's right. That's right. God chose that people to carry out his promise to the world. And we just thought today and maybe a little bit tomorrow too, we can talk a little bit more about the theology behind why that is. You know what I mean? Like, why did God choose to do it this way? What does that mean for the Jewish people today? What does that mean for us as Christians? Mm. You know, are we replacing Israel? Are we not replacing Israel? Are we underneath Israel? Like, where exactly do we and should we stand?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are very, very important questions. And they have lots and lots of implications, mm-hmm. not just for preaching and teaching, but how you face a crisis even like this. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand? How do you see it? Because unfortunately, there are many theologians, pastors, people I admire, maybe even my heroes. They, I think, come down on the wrong side mm-hmm. of theology here. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we can address that a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it.
Absolutely. We've said this on the show before, but theology undergirds everything that you do and everything that you believe. It's not just what you believe in this area. Everything is connected.
Yeah.
Your theology, it connects to every other aspect of your faith. So understanding, you know, where Israel has come from and where they are and in relation to us as 21st century believers, you know, this is a very real, has very real implications for our day-to-day lives, our day-to-day faith. Even if we're not, you know, directly connected to Israel, we are spiritually connected.
Mm-hmm. So I guess maybe just starting from the top down, Dr. Shah, we know, because we've talked about it on the show before, that you are staunchly in favor of the church has not replaced Israel.
Exactly.
Why would you say that is?
Well, because the promises that God made to Israel were unconditional. Mm-hmm. And what some theologians have done, even coming through the Reformation, is that they have the idea that we have now replaced Israel, and the promises that were given to Israel are now spiritually applied to the church.
Mm.
And I disagree with that. Mm-hmm. Too many specifics have been given about the land for us to then go and say, oh, no. This is about spiritual. This is about the spiritual descendants of Abraham. Oh, look at what Paul says in the book of Romans or Galatians, that we are the seed of Abraham. So we are not necessarily just the Jewish people. In fact, those promises have been abrogated. Abrogated means you go back and you rethink based on the new evidence or the new input. Mm-hmm. You change the past.
That's an important, I think that's important what you pointed out, because you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that this isn't a ethical or logical argument. You're saying that there's no evidence in the text that supports this view, what they're saying. That the church
right, is, right. I believe that that's not the case. There's nothing there that should cause us to think that these promises have been abrogated, mm-hmm. have been changed, and that Israel is like anybody else. Now, in one sense, they are like anybody else. We know that because salvation has always been, and I'm going back to the beginning of time, has always been through the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, who is the second person of the Godhead, who is Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, the one who came 2,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. Okay, salvation has always been through him.
So if someone were to say, well, you know, Noah and his family were saved by obedience getting on the boat, and these people were saved by this or the sacrifices, yeah. that's how they were saved, you would say no.
It's a form of dispensationalism. Mm-hmm. Now, I know there are a lot of dispensationalists who will say, no, we always believe Jesus Christ is the only way and has always been. But if you press them and hold their feet to the fire, mm-hmm. they will have to admit that in different phases of history, salvation, of course, was always by Jesus Christ, but the way it was presented to the people who were there is through the ark, mm-hmm. or was through the sacrifices, mm-hmm. or was through some other means. And I definitely, categorically dismiss and reject that view.
Mm. Yeah.
Because once you begin to do that, then yes, you can claim that it's always through Jesus Christ, but for them, they didn't understand everything. I say they understood.
Yeah. Because then how could you say that Jesus is once, but also for all? Because he would, I mean, truly, if that were the case, if dispensationalism were true and God saves through different means, then Jesus would have to be just for some, right? Because he wouldn't have been for them.
Yeah, not the ones in the past. I mean, even if they use that line of reasoning that, yes, it was always Jesus' death, the mode of salvation
was different. That's so what
Jesus,
they're saying.
Jesus' death would not have been the means to salvation.
Right, and then there truly would be other paths to God apart from Christ, right?
That seems like an outrageous opinion for us.
Well, dispensationalists won't say that. They will say, no, it's always been through Christ. Mm-hmm. Just because the presentation is this in this particular dispensation does not mean that it was some other way than Christ. It's always Christ. Mm-hmm. But for these people in this period of time, like Adam and Eve in the garden, it was don't eat the fruit. Mm-hmm. Okay? Noah, get in the boat. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, is the covenant or something of that sort. Moses and the people of Israel is the law. Mm-hmm. So, again, I'm being very simplistic there. I would say, you know, you can say that, but the way you're presenting that gospel in that period, it does not line up with the evidence. It does not line up with the scriptures, mm-hmm. right? In fact, we're writing a book, mm-hmm. I mean, a series of books on this.
That's right.
Talking about the proto-evangelium, which mm-hmm. is the first gospel. In Genesis 3:15, it's already given. The seed of the woman is going to crush the head of the serpent. Mm-hmm. And the serpent, of course, is going to strike at his heel. That right there is the gospel. The gospel was not, don't eat the fruits.
Right.
Right.
Or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. No, the gospel was always, once the sin came in, that now this is going to come, and you have to wait for it. Mm-hmm. And Eve kept thinking she was the one who's going to carry the seed of the woman. Mm-hmm. And she was sorely disappointed in Cain. And she was sorely heartbroken with Abel.
Yeah.
And then again, disappointed with Seth in a different sort of way. The seed of the woman did not materialize until thousands of years later when another woman by the name of Mary, mm-hmm. gave birth to the Son of God through the Spirit, and she was still a virgin. That's when the seed of the woman promise was finally fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying here is that it's always through Christ, always has been, always will be, mm-hmm. before his coming, since his coming.
Yeah.
So the promises that God made to Israel regarding land and regarding the material promises, they have not been changed.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which all that to zoom out and say that we as Christians have not replaced Israel. And therefore, I mean, even if you thought that we had, we should still be caring about what's happening today. But even more so now that these are still God's chosen people.
Mm-hmm.
These are still his children.
Right. And then it goes back, you know, you began the question, I sort of deviated from your question, but
sure.
It goes back to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, God made a covenant with him, the father of the nation. He said, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is Genesis 12:3. And the blessing was the coming of the Messiah, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. That's the reason why Satan has tried to destroy him through the ages. But God had vowed to Abraham that I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an
everlasting covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you abrogate that, mm-hmm. then it's no longer everlasting.
That's right. Right.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
The Bible repeatedly talks about God keeping his covenant to thousands of generations.
Right.
That's right.
Repeatedly talks about him being a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God. So if you cut that short.
Yeah. He's not like the Darth Vader type to be like, all right, I'm altering the deal. And because I'm in power and because I'm in control,
no,
you kind of just have to go along.
No.
Right.
You know, he doesn't just change the terms on
right.
us.
And then that verse goes on to say, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an
everlasting possession.
And I will be their God. Everlasting possession. So either we believe this or we don't.
Like, yeah.
If then don't call it everlasting.
That's true. Because if you were a Christian and you're still coming, I think we hit on this a little bit yesterday too, but if you're a Christian and you're talking about this conflict, and you're like, well, I know it is their land, but it's kind of difficult because the Palestinians are there too, and it's just a very difficult thing. It's like either you believe it's the Jewish people's everlasting possession, or you don't.
Or you don't.
Mm-hmm. You know, if it's their everlasting possession, then it shouldn't really be that complicated.
Right.
Yes, there's a lot of social, like political stuff going on, but this is God's word, and if it says that's their everlasting possession.
And that, as far as theology goes, that brings up another important point. If you don't believe this is their everlasting possession, then you don't believe that part of God's word. And if you don't believe that part of God's word, what else in God's word do you not believe?
Yeah, now we
believe?
Have to start talking inerrancy
and
which parts of the Bible we choose to believe and choose to obey.
Yeah. Now, of course, the ones who hold to the replacement theory
mm-hmm.
when it comes to Israel, theory of abrogation, mm-hmm. of the promises, they may not necessarily compromise inerrancy. They will say, no, we believe in inerrancy. We just believe that right there, the promise was conditional.
Mm.
And we say, no, the promise was not conditional. In fact, in Genesis 12:3, God gave another promise to Abraham, which was, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who
curses you.
And so through the centuries, people and nations have recognized this promise to the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Jewish people and have been blessed by God, and those who have gone against them have faced the wrath.
Mm-hmm.
I believe one of the secrets of America's success has been our historic support of Israel.
Mm.
If you remember, President Truman actually wept when he was thanked for recognizing the newly formed state of Israel.
Right.
He wept. You know, he held up a newspaper, I think it was, that said, something about the new Cyrus,
because
mm-hmm. he considered himself to be Cyrus, just like Cyrus when he came to power after Babylon, you know, Medo-Persian mm-hmm. Empire took over the Babylonian Empire overnight. One of his first acts as the king of this new empire was to free the Jewish people,
mm-hmm.
tell them to go home, go back home, live your lives, build your life, build your temple, build your city of Jerusalem, do what you need to do. So Truman holding up that paper or whatever was to say, hey, I am the new Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
I have now done in my generation what Cyrus did in his generation.
Yeah.
He helped the Jewish people go back and reclaim their land. And of course, on May 14th, 1948, the Jewish people did return to their homeland and became a nation again.
But there were there other nations that didn't support that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you want to look at the history of Jerusalem, there's some important dates to consider. We're talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. So we're talking about somewhere the 2100 BC mm-hmm. era. Jewish people enter the promised land, Canaan, somewhere about the 1400-1500 BC, right? Mm-hmm. Time kind of goes down
right, mm-hmm. right.
before 0 AD, I mm-hmm. guess you can say, or mm-hmm. 1 AD. And then from 1000 to 925 BC was the kingdom was established. The mm-hmm. first temple was built in Jerusalem. Then 63 BC, Rome occupied Israel. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, even prior to that, there were others who came through there. You know, we know about Antiochus Epiphanes and all of them. I'm not going to get into all the fine details, but AD 70, Jerusalem temple destroyed by the Romans. 135 AD, Jewish nationalism ends and Jewish exile begins mm-hmm. and Jewish people are kicked out of their homeland again, this time out of Jerusalem, and they would be gone for almost 2,000 years.
Yeah, that's insane.
The exile, let's talk about the Babylonian exile, was barely a generation, 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. This one, it's going to be close to 2,000 years.
Yeah. So when God, you know, when God is talking about, listen, I'm going to curse him who curses you, he's really not joking around.
Right.
And the people who were displaced by this, his Jewish people, you know, that land, it really is. I mean, I'm thinking about being gone from 2,000 years, like in the 1940s when they finally got it back. Like, what a prize,
yeah.
What a payoff.
Yeah.
You know, what a historic moment that
yeah.
a lot of us, especially Christians, don't even really think about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they had so many battles because with the coming of Islam, mm-hmm. With the coming of the Muslim conquest of the Holy Land, which was in 638 AD now, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. AD, and the building of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, with that, things changed radically, mm-hmm. especially on the Temple Mount
yeah.
in Jerusalem. 691, the Dome of the Rock was built. In Jerusalem on the Temple Mount.
I didn't realize it was that old.
691.
Wow.
691 yeah. AD.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Wow.
And then let's jump down to the 19th century. And this is when you begin to hear about the Zionist Congress in 1897. You hear about the borders of modern Middle East are carved out by the British. This is about 1916,
mm-hmm.
okay, so this is the 20th century. Following that, the British mandate over Palestine begins. The Britain creates Transjordan for the Arabs. And then, of course, in 1929, Arab riots begin in Palestine. From 1933 to 1947, you have a lot of Jewish people who are now going home,
mm-hmm.
coming home. They want to be in Israel.
Right.
This is their land.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And about the same time, as you know, halfway across the world, not halfway, probably for them, quarter of a way
yeah.
from Israel in Germany, Nazi Germany, Hitler is killing, yep. gassing Jewish people, as many as 6 million. Mm-hmm. So now it is like, we need a home.
Right.
We need a place that we can protect and live freely and don't have to live at the mercy of whoever we're rooming with.
Right.
We just want our own land. And so somewhere about that time, this begins to happen. And in 1937, there was a Peel Partition Plan of Palestine. 1939, British white papers restrict Jewish immigration. Not a good thing, pretty bad look. And then United Nations Partition Plan came in 1947. United Nations Partition Plan on how everything would be laid out. And I wanted to maybe mention that real quickly. You know, they wanted to make Jerusalem an international city, as I mentioned last time. Mm-hmm. Imagine that. Imagine someone else controlling your capital city. Imagine Washington, D.C. being in the hands of, I guess, Russia.
Yeah.
That's hard to wrap your yeah. brain around.
It is, because we're so all individualism and sovereignty and all this stuff. And then imagine, yeah, like just like you said, like imagine if Russia was like, we're going to decide what happens in D.C.
Right. I mean, that's
like, that's not, crazy.
Or Canada. Let's give it to Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you like that? The Canadians are going to decide what happens in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just like we don't want to do anything to their capital city. I don't think they should be able to tell us how we're going to run our capital city.
Right.
And then following that, in 1947, the United States Nations, of course, does that. And then 1948 is Declaration of the Jewish State, and the Arab-Israeli War begins. This is 1948.
Wow.
And the Jewish Law of Return is enacted. Jordan cedes West Bank. And then 1956 is the Sinai War. Very well known. I read a lot of books on that. When I say a lot of books, I'm talking about two or three.
Yeah.
Big names that later on went on to become very powerful political leaders in Israel's history.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by 1967,
the Six Day War.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, 1973 was the Yom Kippur War.
Mm-hmm.
I heard someone say, what's happening right now in Israel is so much bigger than the Yom Kippur War.
Wow.
So much bigger than the Six-Day War. So just think for a moment. And I know if we're ignorant about history, this may be like, oh, okay. But if you take some time to study what that means, what the Six-Day War was about, what the Yom Kippur War was about, then it'll begin to sort of sink in what is happening in real time in Israel.
I think we tend to think, okay, the canon of the Bible is closed. God's story is written. It's over. Not realizing that, I think we even mentioned this when we did our episodes on the Reformation, like God's story is still going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The canon of scripture is closed, but that doesn't mean that God is not done working. The story of Israel is not over. It's being written right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is truly God writing it, then there's an immense amount of gravity that I think a lot of us Christians are missing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it goes beyond pray for Israel, pray that they're all right. It's like this is the hand of God moving
mm-hmm.
in a way that is extremely significant.
Yeah. That we can watch in front of us. That
right.
we are taking part in. The canon may be closed. I mean, certainly we would say that, but we are living in the last chapter. We haven't gotten to the final brushstroke. I mean, we are within those pages.
Yeah, we almost think it's, I think it's weird, and I'm trying to put it into words in real time, but it's like, okay, the canon is closed. One day, like the events of Revelation is going to take place again. This 2,000-year window, that's all y'all. Y'all figure it out till I come back. Mm. And I think Christians subconsciously think that.
Yeah.
I think I've thought that in the past.
Yeah.
It's odd.
It is. And so it's time we get educated,
yeah.
mm-hmm. biblically educated, but also study history.
Yeah,
study the people that you can trust. Don't just read everything that's out there. Don't just go to Barnes & Noble and pull out the book that is the shiniest and the ones in the bestseller section or recommended section, because that may not be good history. It may be biased history. I think right now there's a lot of biased history when it comes to America or Israel. It's biased history.
That's right.
And so once you understand that 1979 was where the Israeli or Egyptian-Israeli peace agreement at Camp David, followed by 1987, the Intifada begins, which is we're going to attack Israel to its core. This happened many, many times. We can maybe talk about that in the next show.
Let's do it.
Go in detail there. And then mass exodus of Jewish people from Russia begins. And then, of course, then comes the Gulf War.
Hmm.
Which is maybe now coming into our present day history,
yeah.
where Iraq, Jordan, and PLO came up against Israel.
Yeah.
So important for us, just like you said, Dr. Shah, to learn about what we believe, to learn about history, and to learn our place in the timeline of the world. If you guys have questions about what we talked about today, you'd like to get educated, learn more about Israel's history or even world history, let us know by sending us a text to 252-582-5028. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. You can partner with us financially on that same website. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.